Once again, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Speaking of Schools. This podcast is from South Carolina Department of Education. It's a weekly feature, and this week we're going to be revisiting Making College Affordable. That was a program featured on SCE TV several weeks ago. It's an annual feature that gives folks insight about making college affordable, about funds that might be available through different scholarships and loans. And it is a panel discussion featuring educators whose jobs are centered around financial aid that will be giving insight to listeners of today's podcast. A reminder that you can see the entire program by visiting scetv.org/education and click on the button that will take you to Carolina Classrooms. But if this is more convenient, we hope you'll find it so and will enjoy today's Speaking of Schools.
Hello, and welcome to Carolina Classrooms. I'm Dawn Samples. Tonight is all about helping you, parents and students, get information about applying for and financing a college education. We'll present a lot of valuable information to you in the next hour. Joining me tonight are representatives from colleges and agencies around the state who know a few tricks of the college trade. We'll watch a presentation from each of them and follow up with a discussion. We'll take your questions too. With us tonight are Joey Derrick, Director of Financial Aid and Scholarships at the University of South Carolina, Chuck Neffley, Director of Financial Aid at Clemson University, Carolyn Sparks, Director of Financial Aid at Wofford College, Dr. Karen Woodfook, Director of Student Services for the South Carolina Commission on Higher Education, Katie Harrison, Deputy Director with the South Carolina Tuition Grants Commission, and Violet Hunter, Coordinator of the TRIO Program at the University of South Carolina. Welcome. Thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As I said, we're going to take your questions as we move forward in tonight's program. You may want to email them to us at carolinaclassroom@southcarolinaetv.org. That's carolinaclassrooms@scetv.org. Or you can call us with your question at 1-800-763-3881. Let's get started with some information first from Joey Derrick of USC.
There are basically four sources of financial aid that are available to students who are attending college. The first and probably the largest are the federal sources of aid. Those are primarily loans, also several grant programs for needy students. The next is state, and the state programs encompass many of the common South Carolina programs that you may have heard of, such as the Life Scholarship and Palmetto Fellows programs. There are a handful of state grant programs also based upon your need. The third source of aid comes from the institution itself, and those are often in the form of scholarships, many times based upon merit or perhaps a special talent, such as music or dance. And the fourth source are external programs, things that you may find in your community, such as scholarships from Kiwanis clubs, Rotary clubs, perhaps your church, programs through employers, a whole host of things and programs that can help you cover the cost of tuition outside of federal, state, and institutional sources. There are basically four types of financial aid. The first type is scholarships, and scholarships are what we call gift aid, which means they do not have to be repaid. The second source of aid is referred to as a grant. Grants are also gift aid, which means they do not have to be repaid. Grants are often based upon a student and family's financial situation. The third source are work programs. Many of those are considered student employment on and around a campus or university. And one of the more popular programs within that is the Federal Work Study Program. The fourth source of aid is a loan program. Loans are by far the largest programs that are used to cover costs at institutions. They come from both federal sources and from private sources. Many folks are leery about borrowing, and the truth of the matter is, in this day and age, oftentimes borrowing is a necessity rather than a luxury. One of the best things I think a family and a student can do as they prepare for college is to be creative. about your financing. Try to think outside the box. Many, many times folks focus on trying to achieve the large, prestigious university scholarships, for which there are very few, when at the same time, a student could put together a package of smaller scholarships from various external sources that would be equal to or greater than the institutional scholarship they may consider otherwise. We generally start making awards for students in April. We try to make awards on April the 1st. We make awards until we run out of money. So you want to make sure that you're one of the earliest filers, so file early. Make sure that you have all things in place and respond to any requests for additional information so that you can be considered for the best aid package available.
So, Joey, thank you for that information. You were mentioning in the video that you begin awarding scholarships in April. If I'm the parent of a student who's looking to go to school next year or a student interested in applying for some of these awards, what would be my timeline? What would be a good time to begin doing that paperwork?
Well, certainly now would be the best time to do that. Basically, the 2015-2016 free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA, is available now. So we encourage families to fill that out as soon as possible. You want to get that into any school as soon as you possibly can, because oftentimes we need to follow up for some additional information or clarification. So my recommendation to folks considering applying for financial aid is to do it now. Apply for as many scholarships as you can, as many grant programs as you can, but be sure to complete that free application for federal student aid as soon as possible.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for that information. We're going to move on now and hear a little bit from Chuck Neffley at Clemson.
First and foremost is the free application for federal student aid, also called the FAFSA. Many of the people in the audience today have probably filed one for another sibling or perhaps even for themselves. If you do nothing else, make sure you file the FAFSA. It serves as the application for all federal aid, serves as the application for some state aid, and also for a lot of institutional-based aid that you'll look at. It's a free application. If anyone asks you to pay for it, make sure you go somewhere else, because this is something that you should be able to fill out on your own. It'll take about an hour from beginning to end. Many families actually report it takes less time than that. It's gotten a bad reputation over the years as being an awful process, but it's really quite easy. And if you remember nothing else, please make sure you file. So let's talk a little bit about scholarships. First are scholarships that are awarded by the institution. Those are funded by the school that you'll be attending. Some universities and colleges will have a separate scholarship application, but most of us just use the admission application. So make sure you file the application by whatever those deadlines are, and we'll consider you for any scholarship that you're eligible for. Second, third-party scholarships. These are funded by external agencies, money that you can take with you wherever you go to school. These are scholarship programs like National Merit, maybe ROTC, Gates Millennium, and they're often some very lucrative scholarships, but you have to do a lot of the legwork. You will have to find out where the scholarship applications are, what the deadlines are, and make sure you fill them out. And lastly, of course, are the wonderful scholarship opportunities we have here in the state of South Carolina. Thankfully, the legislature and CHE have made it very easy to apply. The only scholarship that we have in this state that requires an application is Palmetto Fellows. You can get that application from your high school guidance counselor. The first deadline was December 15th, but they have a secondary deadline of June 15th. So if you think you're eligible based on the criteria, make sure you visit with your high school guidance counselor. Unfortunately, 70% of all college graduates last year graduated with some sort of debt. So student lending and student loans are reality for a lot of students. Again, the FAFSA is the first place to go. If you file the FAFSA, you have automatically applied for all federal student loan programs. You fill a FAFSA out, send your results to the school, and we'll tell you what your loan eligibility is. But there are other loans too. We have the parent loan, the Parent Plus loan, it's called. This will have a separate application because it's your parents' loan, not yours. And they'll have to file that either online or perhaps paper, and that will differ by school. So you want to make sure you understand what each school's process is for a parent loan. Next, what we call private loans. These are loans where the funding for the loan comes from a private entity. In South Carolina, the most popular one comes from South Carolina Student Loan. It's typically applied for by the student, co-signed by a parent or another relative, and the payments go right to that lender instead of going back to the federal government. And lastly, I want to talk a little bit about payment plans. Most schools offer some sort of a payment plan. Well, not exactly a loan. It operates like a short-term loan. You split your bill into 10 equal installments, 5 equal installments, and you have that arrangement with the school. But that will often have its own application. So once again, make sure you're checking with the school where you're going to apply and make sure you know those processes. The best piece of advice I could give a student is to work with a financial aid office at either the school they're going to or just the school in the local backyard. If you call us, we're not going to ask if you're one of our students. We're not going to ask even if you're going to college. We'll answer any question you've got. There are people out there who will ask you to pay for that kind of advice, but we're the folks dealing with it all the time. And we're the people who can give you the most up-to-date information.
So, Chuck, that it looks like there's a lot of good support from the schools to be able to help students get the money they need to go to school. Are there any other financial aid forms that students might need to fill out that may be required besides the FAFSA?
There's one that comes to mind. There are some schools that require an institutional financial aid application. So there, for a school that wants to give out money that's need-based, maybe they want to consider something that's not asked for on the FAFSA. The FAFSA asks for example, the FAFSA does not ask for the value of your home. There are some schools that may want to base their institutional aid on how much your house is worth as a sign of how needy you might be. The second big piece of information we sometimes see is that a school want to know the income of a non-custodial parent. The FAFSA is looking at the income of the home that the student lives in, but some schools want to see that information that might come from a second parent that doesn't live in the home. Maybe it's a divorce or something like that. So most schools, especially in the state, don't have a second application, but especially if a student's considering a school outside of the state of South Carolina, they should make sure that there are no secondary financial aid applications to fill out.
Okay, and they can contact the school and the school will help them know if they should do that or not.
Absolutely. Correct. The school will have that listed very prominently because they want those students to fill that out.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for that information. Now we're going to move on and hear Carolyn Sparks, from Wofford College talk to us a little bit.
When I'm advising families about financial aid and scholarships, the question that does come up, what are some other sources that we can look at? Go directly to the guidance office. They do get lots of information about outside scholarship opportunities, especially those that may be local or regional scholarships. The national scholarships also come their way as well, so it's always good to know what those opportunities are and where to look for those. Outside scholarship opportunities will start now, 1st of March, middle of March, 1st of April. A lot of students are going to be making their college choices by May 1st, and so a lot of those applications will become due along with all the other things that go along with planning for college. Start early. Find out when the application deadlines are. And this, of course, would be applicable to any of the financial aid process in general, is to meet those deadlines and start your process early. Find out the ones that are going to be most applicable to you and to the student and what the qualifications are for that. They're going to ask for a student's transcript, probably an application itself. Along with that, they may ask for an essay or a resume of sorts. They're going to ask for, you know, what are your extracurricular activities? How have you been involved in your community? Go the extra mile, do the essay, do the application. You know, a 1,000-word essay may, you know, merit a $10,000 scholarship. Look for scholarships that can be renewed from one year to the next and find out what those scholarship renewal requirements are. Is it a certain GPA that I've got to have each year? Do I have to earn a certain number of hours? Do I need to, you know, submit a financial statement each year as well? Do I need to submit a transcript after each semester? So some of those are the things that you'll need to find out and a student would need to know when applying for these scholarships. Some of the local and regional scholarships may be some of the smaller ones, but some of the national or on the corporate level are the ones that are going to be a little more generous. So I think on the creative side, looking for the ones that are renewable, ones that perhaps you hadn't thought about as a possibility. Corporations, foundations are also other possibilities, and parent employers. Some schools that are religious affiliated may offer scholarships for those students who are of that particular affiliation. scholarships from the college. Those are going to vary, of course, from being merit-based aid to need-based financial assistance, athletic, art scholarships, music scholarships. Those are some other opportunities within a college or university that they may have to offer their students who are applying each year too. You may not know anything about those scholarships until even after high school graduation, but at least you know that you've checked that off your list and made sure that you've looked for all the possibilities that are out there.
So, Carolyn, it sounds like there are a lot of different types of scholarships and financial aid that may be out there for students if they know what to look for. And it sounds to me, from hearing what you had to share with us, that there are probably a lot of sources that parents may not really think of first off, and that the guidance office at the school might be the first point of contact. What could you advise a parent to sort of reflect on, or a student to reflect on, before they go for that guidance visit so that they make sure that they can think to tap all those resources?
Probably even just to look on the guidance counselor, the scholarship website of the guidance office at their high school. Nowadays, that's the most prominent place to look for those scholarship opportunities for students and for their parents, so their parents can surf that information from home, if they have an appointment with the guidance office the following day. But also just looking online in general, I often joke with families, you can do a scholarship search online and probably have more information than you have time in the day or the week to go completely through to see what you might can apply for. But I think knowing where those sources are online, and then getting in touch and maybe being good friends with the admission office at colleges and universities and the financial aid office, I think that's already been driven home to associate yourself with the financial aid office to find out what opportunities are available, how you apply for them, are there other applications, are there things that I need to submit along with the application to be considered for scholarship possibilities.
So just be ready to dig a little and do some research in advance.
Do homework, yeah. A little extra homework.
A little extra, but it's out there if you look for
it. Right.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. As we were saying, guidance counselors in each school play a key role in preparing students for college. They also provide students and parents with a lot of great information about how to make college affordable. Let's take a quick look.
The guidance counselor at your high school is the key person to provide students and parents with current information to help you plan for college. Get to know the guidance professionals at your school and take advantage of their expertise. Financial aid is an equation that involves the college representative, the school guidance counselor, the parent, and of course, the student. Ultimately, the students should be responsible for exploring all scholarship opportunities. The guidance counselor is there to assist you and point you in the right direction. Do not assume you won't qualify for different types of financial aid. And likewise, do not rule out applying to a college because of cost. Each institution's website should feature a net price calculator. Use this to determine all possible costs in addition to tuition. Make sure you share these figures with your guidance counselor. Admission applications should be submitted early in the fall of your senior year. It's important to always meet all application deadlines. Be thorough and prompt with all your communications with colleges and agencies. Document everything and keep copies of all the forms you fill out. Most importantly, stay in contact with your chosen school and your guidance counselor. Together, you can determine the best way to make college affordable.
So as we were saying earlier, it really is important to go in there and talk with your guidance counselors at your school to find out what's available for you out there. Now we're going to move on and listen to Dr. Karen Wildfook talk to us from the Commission on Higher Education.
South Carolina residents are very fortunate to have a variety of financial aid opportunities for them in this state. We are very thankful to the General Assembly for making these financial aid opportunities available and in turn allowing for several of our citizens to take advantage of higher education opportunities. They have to be a South Carolina resident in order to take advantage of these programs. Also, a student has to be a degree-seeking student in order to be eligible. Also, If a student owes a refund on a federal student aid program, then they would have to check to see whether or not they would be eligible for these state scholarship programs. Please make sure that a student, South Carolina resident, is eligible before pursuing these opportunities. The very first program we're going to talk about is the Palmetto Fellows Scholarship Program. This is an opportunity for students who are academically performing at the top level to receive financial aid to go to college in the state. The application process for a student who is going to pursue the Palmetto Fellows scholarship opportunity is, number one, to consult with their high school guidance counselor to see if they, of course, meet the eligibility requirements. The student must enroll in an eligible South Carolina institution immediately upon high school graduation, and also they must attend a four-year institution here in the state. If they do receive the Palmetto Fellows Scholarship, they may receive up to $6,700 in their first year, and that will increase in their sophomore, junior, and senior year to $7,500 for a period of 8 consecutive semesters or 4 years. The student must earn a 1,200 on the SAT or a 27 on the ACT. The student must also rank in the top 6% of their sophomore, junior, or senior year. Then finally, a student must have a 3.5 high school GPA based on the uniform grading scale. As an alternative criteria, a student can earn a 1,400 on the SAT or a 32 on the ACT and earn a 4.0 GPA based on the uniform grading scale in order to meet the criteria. For the Life Scholarship Program, there is no application process. The award is a maximum $5,000 annually, which means $2,500 per term. The student must be a South Carolina resident at the time of high school graduation and at the time of college enrollment. Once they enroll in college, they must continually be enrolled in order to receive the Life Scholarship. At a two-year institution, a student must have a 3.0 GPA based on the South Carolina Uniform Grading Scale. If awarded at a two-year institution, a student has up to four terms of eligibility at a two-year institution. To be eligible at a four-year institution, a student must meet two of the following criteria. The student must have a 3.0 GPA based on the uniform grading scale. Also, a student must score an 1,100 on the SAT or a 24 on the ACT. And then also, another criteria, rank in the top 30% of the graduating high school class. Again, two out of the three criteria. There is an opportunity for students who are majoring in science or math or any of the technology fields or engineering may be eligible for a Palmetto Fellows or a Life Scholarship enhancement. First of all, the student must be enrolled at an eligible four-year institution, and starting in the second year of their award, again, that would mean the sophomore year, the student could receive this math or science enhancement. The student must earn in the freshman year at least 14 credit hours in math or science in order to be eligible for the science or math enhancement in the sophomore, junior, and senior year. Another scholarship opportunity is the South Carolina Hope Scholarship. This particular scholarship allows for a student who is a freshman to receive additional financial aid. It's for four-year South Carolina institutions only. There is no application process. A student must earn a 3.0 GPA based on the South Carolina Uniform Grading Scale. And this particular scholarship allows for eligibility for two terms. The maximum award is $2,800. There's another opportunity for students to earn financial aid in this state, and that is the Lottery Tuition Assistance Program. The Lottery Tuition Assistance Program is awarded only at the two-year technical colleges or the two-year USC regional campuses and Spartanburg Methodist College. The student must complete the free application for federal student aid, we call that the FAFSA, each academic year, and eligibility for lottery tuition assistance is determined by the institution. For the 2014-15 academic year, that's fall, spring, and summer, an eligible full-time student may receive up to $1,140 per term. If the student is part-time, they may receive $95 per credit hour to be used towards the cost of tuition. Another opportunity for students to take advantage of the financial aid programs in the state is the South Carolina Need-Based Grant Program. This program is available at the 2- and 4-year public institutions around the state. Based on need, the student may receive up to $2,500. Please note that that amount may vary per college or institution. Many of those particular programs are based on limited funds, so it might be where it is a first-come, first-served basis for many of the students. So check early, check deadlines, and make sure that you can find out about all the information so that you can apply as soon as possible.
Thank you, Dr. Wolfick. One of the questions that we have is one that I know it would probably apply to a smaller population perhaps out there, but it's a good one, I thought. If a student decides to take a year off to work or to travel and see the world or what have you between high school and college, do they still qualify for the HOPE scholarship?
Yes, they do. A student can take a what we call sometimes a gap year for the HOPE scholarship. So as long as they understand that once they come to college for the first time, then they, of course, need to take advantage of that opportunity moving forward. So we allow for a student, if they like, to take a year off. Again, if they meet the eligibility requirements upon graduating from high school, they do not have to be continuously enrolled and go straight into college. They can take the year off to do so for the HOPE scholarship. That is correct.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. And one more question. If someone were to lose their life scholarship, can they get that back?
Yes, they can.
Okay.
A student, the eligibility requirements to keep the life scholarship is 3.0 GPA, it's a cumulative GPA, mm-hmm. and also a student must earn 30 credit hours in the first year. If they lose the scholarship, they do have an opportunity to gain it back. That would mean that during the year in which, of course, they're not eligible, they would continue to, of course, to earn the credit hours, bring their GPA back up to a 3.0, mm-hmm. and then the next year they can earn the scholarship back.
That's good news.
Yes, it is.
Thank you. We're going to continue now with some words from Katie Harrison from the South Carolina Tuition Grants Commission. She's going to share some more information with us.
The state of South Carolina offers a South Carolina Tuition Grant Program, which was enacted in 1970 by the General Assembly to assist South Carolina residents to pay the tuition at one of 21 eligible private colleges throughout the state. This year, the Tuition Grants Commission has assisted over 13,000 South Carolina residents who have received about $38 million in state assistance. The tuition grant is a need-based grant program, meaning that the student has to demonstrate financial need as a result of the free application for federal student aid. There is no separate application for the tuition grant. It is all determined electronically by the FAFSA results. Once the FAFSA is completed, if all residency questions have been completed accurately, and if the student lists one of the eligible 21 colleges, then that student will automatically be considered for the tuition grant. In order to qualify for the tuition grant, a student must be participating in an eligible undergraduate program at one of our participating institutions. They must also be enrolled full-time at one of those colleges in order to receive the grant. By statute, there are also academic qualifications in place as well. In order to receive the grant for the first time, an entering freshman student must meet one of four academic qualifications. They must either have a 2.0 on the South Carolina Uniform Grading Policy at high school graduation, or be in the top 75% of their graduating class, or have an ACT score of 19 composite, or an SAT score of 900, and that's the critical reading and math only. In order to continue receiving a tuition grant once they have enrolled in college, the student must earn at least 24 semester hours per academic year and must also be maintaining satisfactory academic progress at their individual institution. The FAFSA does have to be applied for each year. June 30th is the application deadline for the tuition grants program. Apply for the FAFSA early. As soon as you can, when financial information is available, the FAFSA should be completed as soon as possible during the application process. The Tuition Grants Commission has a brand new website this year, www.sctuitiongrants.org. On that website, they can find eligibility requirements, residency information, and a list of all the participating colleges, and their financial aid office information is available on the website as well. Funding for the South Carolina Tuition Grant and the other state programs that have been discussed tonight are made possible by generous support through the South Carolina General Assembly, and we would like to give the legislature credit for continuing to realize the importance of higher education in our state and for continuing to fund these important student aid programs.
Thank you, Katie. A question that I have for you is, what if I am an adult and I want to go back to school to a private institution or finish my degree somewhere? Am I also eligible for the tuition grants?
Absolutely. As long as you are earning that first undergraduate degree, as a matter of fact, 14 of the 21 participating colleges do offer online or evening programs geared specifically toward adult learners at this time. And for the current academic year, 1 in 8 tuition grants recipients is an adult student. So we love to see that non-traditional workforce go back and finish their degrees.
That's a good incentive to go back to school for some.
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So our last presentation comes from Violet Hunter from the TRIO program at USC.
TRIO programs are educational opportunity programs that are designed to work with financial aid eligible families who don't have a history of college attendance and therefore may be unfamiliar with the process. TRIO programs work with the entire family, beginning in middle school, with activities such as college visits for young people who may not have even ever considered going to college, mentoring and tutoring and helping them to form the mindset to pursue a college education. TRIO programs are nationwide. They're all across the state of South Carolina, usually housed on college campuses, and you just need to seek out the programs that are in your area. The University of South Carolina has 5 TRIO programs, and they include Upward Bound, Educational Talent Search, the Opportunity Scholars Program, the Ronald E. McNair Post-Baccalaureate Degree Program. We also have a program for the adults. Educational Opportunity Centers assist adults to pursue post-secondary education. The earlier we begin to work with students toward pursuing post-secondary education, the more likely that they will actually follow through and go to school. Guidance offices are there to help students to make decisions about their lives, and TRIO supports that post-secondary element. A wonderful activity is coming up that we want to inform the public about. College Goals South Carolina financial aid workshops all across the state of South Carolina. During the month of February, which is typically proclaimed as Financial Aid Month, we'll be offering an opportunity for families to come out and receive one-on-one help from financial aid professionals, financial aid workshops to talk about the different state and federal programs. Simultaneously, we'll be helping individuals to complete the electronic free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA. Saturday, February 21st, is the date for all of our activities across Columbia at the Richland Library main branch on Assembly Street, beginning at 9 o'clock. It's very important to take advantage of all of the help that's available to you. Free. Utilize your guidance counselor, get their advice, talk to them about the college or colleges you may be interested in. Speak to your teachers. They've been to college. Talk to them about the colleges they may have attended. Learn about the different schools, and then once you've made some decisions about the school or schools that you're interested in, contact the schools. All schools have a plethora of resources. The financial aid offices are there to help the students, to help them be successful, and to help them finance their education. Apply for financial aid for all of the colleges that you may be interested in. Don't hesitate to ask for help.
So, Violet, it sounds like right now is the time for parents and students to really be doing their homework, because February is almost here and it's going to be a busy month for them. Can you tell me just a little bit more about the College Goal scholarships or workshops?
I would love to.
Okay.
First, let me thank the governor. Governor Haley has declared February as Financial Aid Awareness Month. And the South Carolina Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators, CHE, the South Carolina TRIO programs, and others are hosting almost 40 workshops, College Goal South Carolina workshops across the state, and they're scattered throughout the month of February, but I think all here in Columbia, in the Columbia area, are on the 21st. They're an opportunity for families to come out and actually talk to financial aid professionals. I think most of the folks on the panel typically help with College Goal in their areas. We'll be available to complete that electronic FAFSA. We do ask that, if possible, it's been mentioned that families need to start applying as soon as possible. We want to encourage families to go ahead and get those income taxes done and try to bring them to the financial aid workshops. They don't have to have done their tax returns. They can estimate, but we'd like to put the information on the form and have it as accurate as possible. So if they bring their tax forms, that would be helpful.
That's very important to know.
And we want to encourage everybody to come out. It's free.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, while we've been listening and talking, we've had some questions come in from some different places around the state. So we have a question from Larry in Easley. And his question is, what kind of student loan burden do you might typically see upon graduation? Whoever wants to take that one.
I don't know if Chuck or Joey.
We've watched the student loan burden rise over the last couple of years. Currently, for recent graduates of the University of South Carolina, for those students who borrowed, on average, they borrowed about $28,200 from all sources of loan funds. And again, that's for students who graduated most recently for the spring term and had borrowed at least one loan during their time as an undergraduate student.
Wow. We have another question from Bob in Charleston. His question is, how much of scholarship money comes from private sources versus government sources? Again, whoever feels most comfortable taking that one.
I can take that.
Okay,
that's going to differ greatly by the school. At Clemson, we have about $40 million that we award of state scholarship money, but we actually award about that much also in money that's funded at Clemson or through our endowments, annual gifts to the university. And we have a significant number that are funded, we talked about it a little bit in the presentation, by organizations outside of the government and the individual school. Kiwanis's, students' employers. Sometimes we see large scholarships coming in from the parent's employer. So it varies greatly by the school, the size of the school, the types of students that come there. But that information is typically available. It's public information, usually on all the public schools on our websites. If someone's interested in that percentage breakdown at their school they're looking for, they could certainly get that.
And does that vary from year to year, since some of these may be private organizations, and so it may not be something that's consistent year to year? or?
It's relatively consistent. Okay. I think just the sheer number of students that we have, it just kind of averages out. We have seen a very consistent on the state scholarship support over the years. That's been funded well, and we're very happy that that hasn't gone down like some programs have. Federal support has gone up a little bit over the last 10 years. And I would say that we're all of our schools make an effort for fundraising, gifts, that sort of thing. And I think we've all seen our endowments and our annual gifts rise slightly over time as well.
That's good news for students.
It is.
Yes. That's great. We have another question from Nancy in Charleston. And her question is, if parents share custody 50% each, and no one has primary custody, how does that impact their status, and how do they apply for financial aid?
Will you start?
Yeah. Okay, start. We can all do that. Yeah.
As far as the scholarships are concerned, it would not impact the student at all in that particular case, because those students would be South Carolina residents. Usually that's a residency question as well, who's a dependent of a parent. It would be important, again, to check with the financial aid office for state scholarships to ensure that that student is a dependent for the purposes of taxes and so forth of the state of South Carolina, again, for state scholarships, because we only offer these state scholarships to South Carolina residents. In many cases, students are actually in a situation where the parents have joint custody, which is very good. Because that student then is, of course, a dependent of an individual in the state of South Carolina. So for the purposes of state scholarships, joint custody is fine.
Okay. What about if they're applying for financial aid? Right. Does that make a difference then?
It's the opposite. So it has nothing to do with how one files their taxes. The FAFSA asks the student to submit the financial information for the household they live in, for the parent who provides 51% of the support. Now, the question was specific 50-50. And if it truly is 50-50, and it's not just 50-50 on time, they're looking for the entire support. So if you put a monetary value to the food and the clothing and all that, you figure that out as a family. And none of us are going to go back and challenge a family for making that decision if it truly is 50-50. Mm-hmm. But what we found is that the family usually, it's relatively clear which of the two parents is providing that support. And then it is the entire household income. So that would include a step-parent's income that goes on to the FAFSA to determine eligibility for federal aid.
Let me ask you this. We had another one. Oh, let me see if I can go back and find it. From a student at Coastal Carolina University. She says, I currently have the Life Scholarship, and I was wondering if what my GPA had to be to keep my scholarship, and I think you mentioned that earlier.
Sure, I'll be glad to mention it quickly. In order to keep the Life Scholarship, a student has to have a 3.0 GPA, and that's based on what we call a life GPA. And that means that a student can actually earn a grade and a credit hour or credit hours from another institution besides the home institution. In addition to that, a student has to have 30 credit hours, and they can earn those 30 credit hours in the fall, spring, and summer. But by the end of summer, that student has to have 30 credit hours. So always keep in mind an average of 30 credit hours and a 3.0 GPA, and of course, grades can be earned from different institutions in order to keep the scholarship each year. Basically, we say 30, 60, 90. 30 in the first year, cumulative to 60 in the next year, and then 90 in the junior year.
That's an easy way to remember that. We have another question here, and I think this one might be for Violet. Is TRIO the same as the Gamecock guarantee at USC?
That's a great question. It is not. The Gamecock guarantee is an award program. It's a form of financial aid. It is available to South Carolina residents who meet certain income guidelines and are first generation. So TRIO students qualify for the Gamecock guarantee, but it is a financial aid award.
Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
May I mention one other thing real
quickly?
Sure, of course. I forgot to tell people, If they're interested in the College Goal workshops across the state, they can go to sccango.org. And that's at the Commission on Higher Education's website.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
And we'll make sure that that information is available for our viewers as well.
Thank you.
After the show. I have another question here. Is it possible for a student to use state scholarships for graduate school?
I'll answer that question. At this point, the General Assembly has allowed for appropriations only for the undergraduate level. So the scholarships that we spoke about earlier, the LIFE and Palmetto Fellows of Hope, are for undergraduate students. Again, if a student is interested in attending graduate school, I would ask that they check with the financial aid office. There are internships, assistantships available, and so it would be important for a graduate student to contact the institution where they would like to attend. I'm sure that the financial aid office would be able to help them.
Great, thank you. We have another question here from Carmen in Charleston, and her question is there additional financial aid sources available for people with disabilities?
If I can answer one question about that, there is a program that was approved by the General Assembly. It's called the College Transition Program. Now, that particular program is available at 5 institutions around the state, and that would be Coastal, USC in Columbia, Winthrop, and Clemson, as I understand it, and I'm missing one. I think there's one more. I know I was missing one. College of Charleston. Thank you so much, College of Charleston. This is a program for students with intellectual disabilities. They do still have to complete the free application for federal student aid with their families, but if they qualify, it's a need-based grant program available for students to actually attend college, and so we encourage students who feel that they meet that criteria and their families to contact those institutions for further information about the College Transition Program.
Great, thank you. Another
source could also be the South Carolina Vocational Rehabilitation Department in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Offices probably all over the state. I'm not sure that it's in every county, but it's very possible that that would be the case. May also be another avenue for a student to explore to help with any disabilities and scholarship or grant assistance for that too.
Great, thank you. What about, I know we mentioned earlier that if you were an adult and you wanted to go back to school, that there were some options for you there. Are there any special financial aid or scholarships for adults who may be 65 and older who want to go back to school?
I'll first, if I may, I'd like to talk about, just very briefly, about a statute that was approved by the General Assembly. For persons or residents who are 60 years old or older, for the public colleges and universities, there is an opportunity for such students to actually go to school for free. It's called a tuition-free program for citizens who are 60 years and older. Now, there are some stipulations. Number one, there has to be seat availability. So, of course, that means that the student, of course, would have to check with the institution to see if there's an available seat. There might be some other criteria. There are some institutional policies as well that's affiliated with that. So persons who are 60 years or older should contact the institution they wish to attend. One other area that I should mention is the Lottery Tuition Assistance Program. The Lottery Tuition Assistance Program is a hybrid kind of grant. It's for adults, it's for persons who are just starting out. There is no financial need attachment to that. So if an adult would like to retool their career and go back for additional coursework, additional skills, or if a person would like to try out college for the first time, I would ask that they really, again, look at the two-year institutions and Spartanburg Methodist College and also, of course, the technical colleges to see if they would qualify for lottery tuition assistance.
Great.
From a federal point of view, there is no age limit on federal aid, so those students will be eligible. So for students who may not be 60, well, what we found is once a student gets to the age of 23, they no longer have to put their parents' information on the FAFSA. So what we'll see is that families
that a student who may not have been eligible for a Pell Grant, say, when they get to a certain age, they can take mom and dad's income off, and all of a sudden that student becomes eligible for a Pell Grant. So there's actually a lot of opportunities for students in their 20s, 30s, and maybe even 40s that they may not have had coming out of school to be able to afford it.
What options would they have if they don't have all the documentation, perhaps, that they might have had it when they were younger, to be able to apply for those?
Well, what I'm talking about is just filing the FAFSA,
okay.
And that's just,
so they,
you know, that's your income and your assets and information about your family.
Great.
So there'll be no other application except to file the FAFSA for the school you'll be attending.
Great. Thank you. I have a question from Darla in Columbia, and her question is, if a student has a job, does that income affect how the parents fill out the FAFSA?
I can take that one.
Okay.
It always gets kind of tricky when it comes to completing the FAFSA. But basically, if a student is not considered to be independent and they're considered to be dependent, then on the FAFSA, both the parent's information and the student's information is included. So when that FAFSA is completed, there's a section for parents and there's a section for students. So as that FAFSA is completed, if the student has work, then that would be entered on the free application, and it's assessed for financial aid eligibility. But sometimes it's not as drastic as families may believe. A lot of times we counsel students and parents who believe that a student's summer earnings will make them ineligible for aid, and a lot of times that's not true. So it's important that as folks fill these out, if there are earnings on the parents and the students, we want to make sure that both of those are entered accurately so that we can accurately award a financial aid to those families.
Good, thank you. We have another question from Olivia in Orangeburg, and her question is there special financial aid for students with deceased parents?
I'll start the conversation on that one. That again can get a little sticky, but part of the free application for federal student aid takes into account a student's parental situation, and there are allowances on the FAFSA. If a student's parents are deceased and they're considered an orphan or a ward of the court, they'll be considered to be independent. Now, granted, that's not necessarily a scholarship opportunity, but it does mean that when the student files the FAFSA, the information will only be considered for that student, and oftentimes that can result in increased eligibility for the student for federal programs.
Okay.
So I'll add a little kind of a corollary to that. I would encourage a student who experiences the death of a parent while in school to go visit the financial aid office. Not every school has resources to do so, but a lot of us have a little money that we're awarded, that we're given by either our foundation or maybe the president, to try to help a student who experiences a financial tragedy while they're in school, to help them keep going. It may not be everything, but maybe it's a few thousand dollars to get them to that junior year so they can graduate.
So it's important to reach out, for them to reach out.
That's why we're here. You know, that's why our offices exist. You know, we want you to come to our school, but more importantly, we want to make sure that you can stay at our school and graduate.
And there also may be some outside scholarship possibilities as well, specifically for orphans. I can think of a couple right off the bat that have some criteria with either that in mind, or perhaps the student has experienced some type of tragic event in their life that they could apply for the scholarship based on those circumstances too.
Great. That's good to know. What about if you are a student who has, this is a question from Linda in Cheraw, if you are a student who has a life scholarship already and you transfer to another school, are you able to keep your life scholarship?
Yes, you are. Again, as long as you maintain those eligibility requirements, typically an institution will look back and check the transcript to make sure that upon leaving that first institution, the student can pick up the scholarship at the other institution, the institution that the student now attends. So again, keeping up with those eligibility requirements that we talked about earlier would be most important. There's no additional financial aid form or no additional application that a student needs to complete in order to do that.
Okay, we have time for one more question. This is from Catrice in Boiling Springs, and her question is, can my son, who is in high school but who is currently taking some college courses, be eligible for financial aid?
I can start. And, you know, we love students who start early. Again, for eligibility criteria, that makes a student that much ahead. Again, we talked about the enhancements as well. So if a student is starting to take courses while they're in high school, we encourage that if they can possibly do that. And of course, it will not harm their chances or hurt their opportunities for the state scholarship programs. And I can continue on with that, but I'll allow others to talk about that.
Well, that's good to know, because if they were thinking that their financial aid might be in danger, they might not take those courses, but I know we certainly want them to.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thank you all so much for being with us tonight. You've given us a lot of really good information, and I hope it's very timely with February coming that a lot of people will get out there and go do their the visits and the workshops. So, wow, we have gotten a lot of great information from you this hour. It's flown by. And I just want to thank you all again for being here and for your insight. Thank you for your questions out there. And I invite you to join us again on February 25th as we sit down with Molly Spearman, our new State Superintendent of Education. If you have questions that you'd like to ask her, we'll be taking those ahead of time. So please send your questions to carolinaclassrooms@scetv.org. We'd also like to see and share what unique things you, our teachers in South Carolina, are doing in your classrooms. We invite you to submit a short video, 2 minutes or less, showcasing your students for possible use on future Carolina Classrooms episodes. Please visit our website at scetv.org/learn, or you can visit the Pinterest site. There you can also find links to other resources that can help you with applying and paying for college. We hope today's show is informative and helpful. From everyone at ETV, I'm Dawn Samples. Thank you for watching and good night.
Dawn Samples, your host for Carolina Classrooms, with her panel of experts, the most recent Carolina Classrooms entitled Making College Affordable, the audio portion of that SCETV production being presented for you today on Speaking of Schools. I'm Doug Keel. Hope you found the program insightful and gave you some information, particularly if you are a parent about to begin financing what probably will turn out to be the second largest expenditure that you'll be making. If you're a student, we hope that you'll realize that there are a lot of resources that are available for you, and together with your parents, you can apply and hopefully get some relief for the major expenditure that lies ahead. The South Carolina Department of Education brings you this weekly podcast that you can find at this website, and we hope that you'll be with us again next week for more education news on next week's podcast. Thank you very much for the pleasure of your company. We enjoyed having you with us, and we invite you to join us next week when we'll be speaking of schools.